Welcome to episode 544 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This is day 11 of our special series, 12 Days of Christmas. Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Verses 22 to 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There were essentially three steps to marriage in the Jewish world of Jesus' time. Engagement. This could happen when the bride and groom were quite young and was often arranged by the parents. Betrothal. This made the previous engagement official and binding. During the time of betrothal, the couple were known as husband and wife, and a betrothal could only be broken by divorce. Betrothal typically lasted a year. Marriage. This took place after the wedding, after the year of betrothal. So while Mary and Joseph are in the betrothal stage, Mary becomes pregnant. Luke provides more details about how this happens. The angel Gabriel visits Mary to bring her news that she would be the mother of the Messiah. Mary asks, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Gabriel's reply indicates the miraculous nature of the conception. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The angel points not to any human act, but to the Holy Spirit and the power of God as the agency of Jesus' birth. Jesus would properly be called the Son of God. Gabriel later repeats the news to Joseph in Matthew 1 verse 20. God's messenger affirms that what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph needed this information because when he learned about Mary's pregnancy, he had considered a quiet divorce. Accepting God's word in the matter, Joseph proceeded to take Mary as his wife, but she remained a virgin until after Jesus was born. Matthew 1 verse 25, he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. The gospel writers are judicious in their wording to maintain the doctrine of the virgin birth. In the genealogy of Jesus, Luke mentions that Jesus was the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. In his genealogy, Matthew carefully avoids calling Joseph the father of Jesus. Rather, he speaks of Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was a mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ was predicted in the New Testament. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This verse, in Isaiah 7 verse 14, was quoted in Matthew 1 verse 22. There is also a possible allusion to the virgin birth in Genesis 3 verse 15, which says that the seed of the woman would destroy the serpent. The Bible teaches the pre-existence of the eternal Son of God. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, the child who is born is also the son who is given. In like manner, Galatians 4 verse 4 also teaches the pre-existence and virgin birth of Christ. God sent his son born of a woman. The virgin birth is important because that was the means by which the Word became flesh, according to John 1 verse 14. The incarnation is when the eternal Son of God took on human flesh without losing any of his divine nature. He added a human nature. That miraculous, history-changing event took place in the Virgin Mary's womb. In the virgin birth, the immaterial, the spirit, and the material, Mary's womb, were both involved. Just as at creation, the earth was formless and empty and dark, according to Genesis 1 verse 2, Mary's womb was an empty, barren place. And just as at creation, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, the Spirit of God came upon Mary. Only God can make something out of nothing. Only God could perform the miracles of creation, the incarnation, and the virgin birth. The virgin birth is important in that it preserves the truth that Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time. His physical body he received from Mary, but his eternal, holy nature was from all eternity past. Joseph the carpenter did not pass on his sinful nature to Jesus for the simple reason that Joseph was not the Father. Jesus, according to Hebrews 7 verse 26, had no sin nature. The virgin birth of Jesus is an example of God's gracious work on our behalf. God took the initiative. Mary was not looking to become pregnant. It was all God's idea. Joseph had no role in the conception. His body was not involved. So the power had to come from God. In a similar way, our salvation is based solely on God's initiative and God's power. We did not seek God, but He sought us. And we did nothing to earn our salvation. We rely on God's power. Unsurprisingly, Jesus' enemies sought to deny His virgin birth. They went so far as to publicly accuse Jesus of being a Samaritan, that is, a person of mixed race. John 8 verses 48 to 49, the Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." He adds in verse 58, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Those today who would deny the virgin birth contradict the clear teaching of Scripture, call into question other miracles recorded in the Bible, and open the door to a denial of Christ's full deity or His full humanity. One commentator identifies five reasons why the virgin birth of Jesus is doctrinally important. 1. The doctrine of Scripture. If Scripture errs here, then why should we trust its claims about other supernatural events, such as the resurrection? 2. The deity of Christ. While we cannot say dogmatically that God could enter the world only through a virgin birth, surely the incarnation is a supernatural event, if it is anything. To eliminate the supernatural from this event is inevitably to compromise the divine dimension of it. 3. The humanity of Christ. This was the important thing to Ignatius and the second century fathers. Jesus was really born. He really became one of us. 4. The sinlessness of Christ. If He were born of two human parents, it is very difficult to conceive how He could have been exempted from the guilt of Adam's sin and become a new head to the human race. And it would seem only an arbitrary act of God that Jesus could be born without a sinful nature. Yet Jesus' sinlessness as the new head of the human race and as the atoning Lamb of God is absolutely vital to our salvation. 5. The nature of grace. The birth of Christ, in which the initiative and power are all of God, is an apt picture of God's saving grace in general, of which it is a part. It teaches us that salvation is by God's act, not our human effort. The birth of Jesus is like our new birth, which is also by the Holy Spirit. It is a new creation. According to the words of an old English carol, "A virgin most pure, as the prophets do tell, hath brought forth a baby, as it hath befell, to be our redeemer from death, hell, and sin, which Adam's transgression had wrapped us in. Aye, and therefore be you merry, rejoice and be merry, set sorrow aside, Christ Jesus our Savior was born on this tide." Father, we thank you for the miracle of the virgin birth. We appreciate that you are a God of miracles and a God of grace. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.